Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome again, Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. We are so glad that you are here today. If you have tuned in, those of you who are in the building, we thank God for you, and especially you. We welcome you on behalf of our co-founder, Archbishop D.W. Smith. We thank God for all of you in the name of Jesus. This is Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International. We are located in Stockbridge, Georgia. Amen. And we have service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We have Sunday school at 9 a.m. And we praise God. On Wednesday, we have Noonday Bible Study, which you're tuned into now. And you're here now. And then we have also 7 p.m. Bible Study. We're dealing with the purpose-driven life. Amen. To know where you are in the Lord. So we thank God for you being here today, and we pray that God would give us a word, amen, in season that we will be able to live by. We give him glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. We welcome you again in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we get started today, we'll have prayer by Pastor Ann, and then we'll go into the word of God. Hallelujah. You want to clap your hands with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And to be glad in this day. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. So let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I'm thanking you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
You are the mighty God.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God, that you are the great I am.
Thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God. Our joy, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord God, that you are our creator, Lord
thank
God.
You, Lord.
We thank you, Jesus, that you are our Savior, Lord. And God, we just thank you and bless you and honor you today, God. Father, as we come before your presence today, Lord, we're asking you, Lord God, that you open up our hearts, you open up our minds, you open up our ear gate, oh God, our eye gate as well, Lord, that we may be able to hear and see what it is that you are asking us to do, Lord God. And we know that it's in your word, God. So, Father, we thank you right now, Lord. We bless you right now, God. I thank you right now, Lord God, that you help us to trust you with all of our heart. We don't lead to our own understanding, but in everything, Lord God, oh, God, we give it all to you, Lord God. We are trusting
thank
you, Lord God, that you're going to lead us and guide us.
Oh, yes, Jesus.
God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord,
thank
for
you, Lord.
This word today,
thank
Lord,
you, Lord
God. Thank you, Lord God, for the thank you, Lord God, for the anointing blowing
thank
in
you.
This place
thank
right
you,
now
thank
in
you,
the
Lord.
Name of Jesus.
Thank
hallelujah.
You,
bless
you.
Those that are
thank
here,
you.
Lord God, and those that are online, Lord God,
yes.
And those that are on their way, God.
Yes, yes, yes.
Bless them in a mighty way,
yes,
oh God,
yes.
And supply
thank
every need, God, according
yes.
to your riches and glory
yes.
by Christ Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you for it.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you glory for it.
Thank you,
our
Lord.
Leaders, Lord.
Thank
continue
you, Lord.
To lead them and guide them, oh
yes,
God,
yes.
down the path of righteousness,
yes,
oh God,
yes.
for your name's sake. And even though we may walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, we don't fear no evil,
no evil.
Because you are with us,
yes,
oh God.
Yes,
thank
yes.
you, Lord God.
Thank
we
you,
bless
God.
You. We honor you, God.
Thank
let
you.
This be an awesome, great, anointed Bible study, Lord,
you, Lord.
And let us leave out of here better.
Yes,
then
Lord.
We came in.
Yes,
and God, to all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name.
In
and
Jesus
everybody
name.
Says,
amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen. Amen. We are now starting a new chapter. Hallelujah, chapter 6. Amen, of Romans chapter 6 and beginning at the first verse. And let me give you an overview or outline of chapter 6. Paul introduces God's threefold method leading to sanctification. Threefold method leading to sanctification. Those threefold methods are to know, number one, to reckon, and to yield. To know, to reckon, and to yield. To know, believers must be aware of the three facts, that they have been crucified with Christ, they have been resurrected with Christ, and now they're both dead and alive. Number two, reckon. we are to count our crucifixion and resurrection as accomplished events. Number three, yield. Paul describes two kinds of yielding, the wrong kind and the right kind. The wrong kind, we are not yield to our members of our body as tools of wickedness. The right kind is the confute that we are not yielding to sin. Amen. So Paul has given us three methods that we are leading to sanctification. Amen. And thank God for those of you who have tuned in and that are here. Amen. Romans, the sixth chapter. Get your Bible, get your pen and your paper. Amen. Sue, we can dive into this right now and see what God is saying to us. Amen. That now we have been reconciled back to Christ. Now what do we do? Now that we know that we have been reconciled, we know Jesus paid the price that we could not have paid. He did what no man would do for us, and he did it for us without hesitation, without anything, without and now we know that we are now in right standing with God. We have access to God, and God has set us free because of our faith in what Jesus and Jesus finished work on the cross. Amen? So let us start with verse 1 and 2. And we'll start with Elder Davis, verse 1 and 2, Romans, the sixth chapter.
Verse 6, verse 1. What shall we then say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
My Lord.
God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, in the verse before, he's talking about death, sin leading unto death. But Jesus, righteousness in Jesus Christ leading unto life. He said before that where sin abounds, grace abound much more. So he's saying, really, shall we sin and expect grace to cover our sin so that we can live again? But he's saying also that the only way we're going to get out of this lock that we have on us of death is through righteousness. But it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that there's none righteous, not one. But when we say it, we have to say it correctly. We are the righteousness of God by faith or through faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
No faith in Jesus Christ, no righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple as that. Mm-hmm. And once we switch over from the valley of death into the mountain of life, if you want to call it, by faith in Jesus Christ, then death has no more grip. Jesus already took care of that. But we have to believe it. We have to live like we believe it. And we have to walk in the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Everybody else? So Paul, again, as he deals with the church involved, it's so amazing how the same thing he deals with all these churches, same issues. And so he wrote to Galatians and tell them in Galatians 2 and 20 that I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ live in me. So right here he's saying we are dead to sin, right? So we are no longer living, but we are dead to sin. He said that so. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Absolutely not. We have died to sin, meaning we have been crucified, right? Mm-hmm. So now that we've been crucified, we live.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't live of ourselves, but we should be living by what the word of God and the will of God is.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that Paul is saying is that we should know that we have been crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm. When Christ went on that cross, we ought to put ourselves on the cross too.
Mm-hmm.
That we have been, all of our sins were then stapled, nailed to that cross. So we have to put ourselves that we have been crucified. So now we've been crucified. So now we, our will is not just, it's not our body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we get all mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our physical being that's being crucified. Spirit man has to be crucified. So the carnal man, our carnal man is the one who's got to be crucified because we need him dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because carnal minded is, death. Come on, I got some Bible readers. Is enmity against God, and carnal is death, and spiritual is life, right? And so if we got to make sure that we're crucifying, and when he says, Paul said in one of the other epistles that we die daily, it don't mean you're killing your body daily, but you're killing your carnal spirit, man, daily. The things of the flesh, you're killing daily. Because that's your enemy. Because now you are with Christ, so anything that's against Christ is your enemy because you're with Christ. So when the devil come and tell you to do something contrary to God, if you go along with him, you become God's enemy. So you don't want to do that. That he says. So God forbid that we continue in sin. Because Jesus already paid our sin debt. Why would somebody pay something for you? You go back and put the burden back on yourself. It is just what a lot of people did in slavery. They didn't want to be free no more because they gotta work, they gotta supply their own food, but they prefer to go back. Like the Jews say, hey, we had it better than Egypt. We ain't got no food out here in the wilderness. We ain't got no water. Right? We had onions. I don't like onions to begin with, but I don't know how they think we got onions. We got onions. I mean, so it's just like how we do today. God has set us free, and yesterday we're trying to go back. Those things that destroying us, that and if it don't even destroy our physical body, it's destroying our relationship with God. If you're going to do something that destroys your relationship with somebody, why do it? You don't value the relationship, bottom line. Because if you value any relationship, you're going to change the way you do things, no matter what it is. I mean, if you especially you're a jock, right, in high school, and you're famous with the girls, and going to the mall wasn't a cool thing. That's cool now. Wasn't a cool thing back in the day because that's where all the girls go and shop. Boys don't hang out at the mall. Used to. They didn't change that. But because of the girl you want to be with is at the mall, guess where you going to be? Okay? So if Jesus is somewhere, where you going to be? Wherever Jesus is, right? You're going to do whatever pleases him because you're in love with him. Value the relationship with Christ. So anything that's contrary to him, you don't want to do it. And so you ain't going to continue in sin. And if you do sin, the first thing you're going to do when you get convicted is you're going to repent. Because that ain't something you want to do. It's something you might have did, but it ain't something that you're going to want to do and just feel good about it. I mean, if you, that's the true fact that you've been born again when you get convicted. If you don't get convicted about a sin you did, you better check your salvation. Because if you have done wrong and the Holy Ghost in you is going to start feeling something different. But the problem with us, if we don't die, then that carnal mind is going to be the one talking to you louder than the Holy Ghost will talk to you. So who are you going to hear? The one who's talking louder, right? And if your carnal mind is talking loud and telling you, it's okay. Jesus has paid for your sin. It's okay. God forbid, he said.
God of mine is the one that's doing the loudest talking. That's what you're going to hear. And the problem is, even though we know it's sin, because our common mind will tell us Jesus done paid for it, we're going to still say, well, that means you can slide by. God ain't gonna change the relationship with you because of that. God loves you too much for that, right? Our common mind will give us good, and guess what? He'll give us scripture too. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you till the end. He ain't gonna leave you. And so we got to be careful that don't let sin abide no matter what. If we found it in us, let's get it out of us. Let's crucify self daily. That's why we got to do it daily. If we missed it yesterday, we got to be on it today. Every day we got to work. The Bible says work on your own soul salvation with what? Fear. That means you ain't casual about it. You ain't casual about your salvation. With fear and trembling, meaning that you're intentionally trying to make sure that you do everything that pleases God. But if our carnal mind is up here, trust me, that's what's going to do all the talk. And it sounds so good to you. But it's amazing how when your carnal mind is in the forefront, whatever it says, it sounds like the Holy Ghost. Because it soothes you. It satisfies you because it's you. It's your carnal mind, right? And so we got to be careful how we do about things that feels good, feels right. That don't mean it's right. Because, you know, our feelings is fickle, right? Change every 5 seconds if you let it. So you can't go based on your feelings. I used to say a long time ago that the Holy Ghost, you can feel it, but that ain't all it is. It'll make you jump and shout, but it's more than that. It's more than that jump. It's going to lead and guide you and tell you what to do and what to do. So don't be confused by your carnal mind telling you it's okay. Jesus already paid for your sin debt. And people got so that they say even the sin you're going to commit in the future already paid for, right? But that don't give you license to go sin.
The same trick that the serpent used in the garden with Eve, the same trick that he's using today. And one of the main ones is to distort the word of God, which he did with Eve. God didn't really say that. God doesn't really mean that. And that's how he comes to believers. He tells you the same thing. Your flesh already want it. I already want to do it. I'm just being honest.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So the enemy will come to you. And you can even have church people, Christian people, pastors, whatever, come to you and use scripture to justify sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to be just really in a relationship with Jesus Christ where that he is the loudest voice that we hear, that the Holy Spirit is the loudest voice that we hear, because whoever you spend time with, you know, that's who you're going to be close to. That's who you're going to listen to, and that's who. So we have to spend time. It's a relationship like any other relationship, and we have to spend time with God. So his voice is always the one we can recognize it, you know, and we'll do the right thing at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how even people's voice you recognize, you may not still have a relationship. If I hear Shaquille O'Neal voice record, I know that's him. But I don't have a relationship. But I recognize his voice. And so even people who think they recognize God's voice may not even have a relationship with him. But it's imperative that we have that relationship. So without a doubt, we don't just have the knowledge of him. We have the experience. There's a difference when having a knowledge of somebody but not having an experience in him. Paul had an encounter and an experience. Yeah, he knew about him before, but he didn't know him. He worked for him, but he didn't know him. Right?
Because when he got stuck on that horse and that bright light came, he said, who art thou, Lord? You know, he didn't know him. Just like Isaiah. It took till the sixth chapter. He wasn't in the temple all the time. It took till the sixth chapter for him to really see God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he was serving. He was working in the temple, right? I mean, religiously doing everything he's supposed to do, on time, in time, everything. But never met God. So we got to make sure that the relationship we have.
So the Bible let us know that we cannot serve two masters. Mm-hmm. We're going to either love one and hate the other.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with us in the church, I'm not talking about the people out there. I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about the church right now.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with us in the church, we got one foot in the world and one in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead. That's what. Yeah.
I'll leave that alone because I don't want to get started up in here. I'll leave that alone.
Okay, how we deal with one foot as Christians, one foot in and one foot out?
I think, too, because of along the line of what you were saying, the word says about, you know, if you're talking about relationship and knowing of him and knowing him, but then even knowing him, but the relationship is an intimate one. When when the verb uses, my sheep know me, and I know them. They know me. They know my voice. And another, they will not follow. And we know that verbiage of that know is the same know that was used in Genesis. When it's talking about and Adam knew Eve, his wife. So it's an intimate know and not just knowing of him in that type of relationship.
And Paul is saying now, if we are dead to sin, not dead, but we are dead to sin. Our death is to sin. So a dead man can't respond to anything. So if we are dead to sin, how can it? We respond to sin if we are really dead.
Huh.
Somebody ain't dead. That's why we got to die daily. Because we ain't flatline yet.
Mm.
We need to flatline.
Okay, you better make sure when you go down in that water that you really have Christ, because you can go down a wet devil and come back up a dry one. She used to always tell us that. We like, what is she talking about? She said, make sure you don't
right, come up wet
that morning without making sure Christ is in your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's not anything to play with. And I knew not to come off of that. I made sure. I cried. She said, you sure? Because you can go down a wet devil and come back up a dry. Go down a dry devil and
come back up a wet.
Wet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it's not that. It's not your faith. It's your faith. That's what Jesus preached when he first met on the Beatitudes. We think it's just about blessing.
Right.
It's about telling them to change their way of thinking. You know, we say if you somebody hits you an eye for an eye, it was right in the Old Testament. No. If somebody hits you, if somebody slaps you, turn your face and give the other cheek. What? You know, he said change your way of thinking. Now, it ain't about you going to bed with somebody. If you look on somebody's desire, you already did the sin.
Mm-hmm.
What? Mm-hmm. Those Pharisees that brought that little lady couldn't have anything to stand on then, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying the way you think, you got to change your way of thinking. So your spirit man has to die. And the way your old man is dead to sin, how can you respond to sin if you're dead?
Mm-hmm.
that's the point, one of the points I'm going to make, that a lot of times you can be dead, but you'll resurrect that thing with the right temptation comes along. Let me also say this, that not only are we to live right and to live holy, you know, sometimes we can fool other Christians, but the world know who you are. Mm-hmm. They know what you're doing, and they know that you're not what it's supposed to be. Right. And one of the things that God wants us to be is an example to the world. Mm-hmm. If we don't have what we say that we have, then how can we draw somebody? What do you have that they want?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're still doing the same thing that they're doing and they don't have it, or their behavior or something is better than yours, and you're supposed to be the church. Right now, the world is hungry for a real saint.
Mm-hmm.
They hungry for a real Christian with real power. You know, that has something different than what the world has. You know, a lot of times we can stay in here, we can discuss, and it is so good. But what are we taking out there to the world? Who are we talking to?
Mm-hmm.
Who are we telling about Jesus? What can they see in our lives that we don't have? What can we be to them? You know, what kind of example can we be to them? Is there power in the church? Because witches and warlocks and Wiccans are growing very much so.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of young people are going towards that because they're demonstrating power. When are we going to rise up as the body of Christ and start demonstrating the power that Jesus said? He said, greater things shall we do because he goes to the Father. So we not only have to live holy or live right, but we also have to live in a powerful way so that we can be the Jesus that they see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying we're taking Jesus' place, so don't take me out of here. But I'm just saying that we needed that because there are people who need deliverance. Where are they going to go for that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we not walking in power or not living holy, how can we get people delivered? You know, how can we get people saved? There's a spirit of depression. There's a spirit of murder going on. There's abortion.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy is so angry. I'm stopping a little bit, but let me tell you.
Go ahead.
The enemy is so angry that abortion is about to be overturned, that the spirit of murder just has gone crazy in the United States, you know. And a lot of times you say, well, this is happening, that's it, this is isolated. No, that's the spirit of murder. That's the same thing that's on abortion. That people say, well, they're just abortion. But no, that's sacrifice. So you might not realize that's a sacrifice, but it's the same thing that, you know, they were doing in the temple. You know, all those other, and so that spirit still wants to hold on to the United States. So if I can get the babies in the womb, okay, I get the ones with who need to form. If I can't get them, I get the elementary kids. Do you see how, you know, the enemy is really after them? So if we're not living holy and we don't have power,
mm-hmm.
how can we help the world?
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be the light to the world.
Yeah.
I mean, not just the church, but actually
Actual
life.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
We're the answer because we have Jesus, and Jesus is the answer. What's the answer to school students? Jesus. Get them saved, get them delivered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the answer to things, problems in the world? You know, it saved, delivered. Under the Holy Spirit, we have answers that the world needs. You know, a Christian person filled with the Holy Spirit in relationship with God can go into a situation and give them answers, you know, from the mind of God that they don't even have. That's the kind of life we're supposed to be living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Two Wednesdays ago, after Bible study, one of my players called me to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for him to think that I'm somebody that gets, he must have seen something, must have heard something, must have identified something. And so it was a blessing that he would do that and least expected one to do. And so, you know, one of the kids that on my team is one of those kids in the accident in King County that he passed away on that following Thursday. But we have to be that example. And I ask God every day, because we have some kids in our program that really needs a miracle, because they are so jacked up, for lack of a better word, in their spirit. It's so messed up that God, please, I lay hands on them. I said, God, please, I know you got the power. Because it ain't in me, it's in you, your power. You got the power to change these children. Because I see them in the future and it don't look good. I'm afraid. And, you know, and so all we can do is just ask God to do it. Because if up to me, it would have been done. Put a brand new one in myself if I could. And so we need to just continue to pray and live the life. And hopefully that even though the seed that we put in may not be sprouting up yet, that hopefully before they get to the next point, that seed will spring up and they would say, you know what? Pastor Butterfield has been saying this and saying that. I think I need to make a change. And I pray that we make a change for them. Because if they continue, these are 57-year-old kids, they will cuss you out left and right. And think nothing about it. And it's hereditary. It's hereditary. And so we're praying for the seeds of because it's perpetual every day. You have kids in our church that curse like sailors. And it's so common to them, they don't even recognize that person.
They don't recognize it after.
That's what I'm saying. It's at home. It's at home. It's at home. And so we got to pray for households that we would change, because our kids are the product of us. We can die from it if we want to. Our unresolved issues, our strongholds are being passed down to these generations. It ain't just happening. We are passing down stuff. And the little kid don't even know what he got.
Right, right, right.
He just doing what's in him.
Right.
Sure. He's just a 5-year-old. I mean, they doing some.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, grown folks don't think about it. Some grown folks ain't thought about this stuff yet. And so we got to make sure that the life we live has power.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Because these signs should follow them that believe. Go ahead.
Oh, we got Elder and we got her.
Okay.
A while back when you were talking, and you said, about what's put in them, and you went on to explain it, because it works both ways, you know. You said we got to put that, you know, that knowledge, that seed in them. But, yes, that's the evidence of the seed that has been put in them, because that's what I was going to say. The children, yes, but it's their parents, yes, and it's their grandparents, yes. One of the things I remember when I was teaching for a while, you know, Christian education. And so one of the things I just asked, because this was doing the Bible, because I taught that subject too. And so I just asked the students to list a name or two names on a piece of paper and hand it in to me. And I said, if you were in dire need of prayer, life and death, the worst tragic thing to think of, your friend jumped off the bridge or your, whatever it is, tell me who you would go to for prayer. If you really need to get a prayer through, and it triggered when you said about the students coming to you, they handed in that paper, and over 75%, I'm going to say 70, let me back it up, memory may be leaving me, did not mention their parents. I'm in a Christian school teaching Christian education. This is a Christian academy.
Yeah.
They did not. A couple of them mentioned their pastors. More had mentioned a pastor than their own parents. And two of the children in the class, they were, so
you know, mm-hmm. and the seed that's going in them today, I'm not good on names, but the homosexual guy, the new guy with the silver hair, that Cooper. I mean, he said it's out there. It ain't the secret. I mean, he and this partner, this mate partner, I don't know if the mate who's what gender is supposed to be, but I cannot believe it. About a month and a half ago, so this Cooper and his partner, and they have adopted, they were allowed to adopt children, which, you know, some of us cannot. But anyway, he's coming out. It's either a book that he has written or it's a program that he's going to have on parenting. I was listening to him talking. It's like, okay, these two, and they are coming out, or he is, with a book or a program on how to parent, on parenting. I was like, huh?
Is she talking about the guy to do the singing?
Yeah.
When I heard that he was like that, now I'm not trying to do a whole lot of judging too much, but I was thinking, well, Lord have mercy. That's and then he's going to go, then he's going to try to, he's going to tell somebody else something about how to parent.
Their partners, and they adopted a boy, and bring them up. And now he's going to be telling the nation on how to parent.
How to parent, too.
They adopted another one?
I
think they have.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The church. That's why some of the kids are in the condition that they are in today.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm wrong, that don't mean that I'm telling them the right thing. Or that don't mean that I'm living right before them.
Mm-hmm.
But we are so quick to blame the kids. Oh, they disobedient. No, what is you doing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want nobody blood on my hands.
Well, and you guys, you know, a lot of times when you witnessing, you'll find out that a lot of people will tell you, well, I want to wait until I really get it right because I don't want to be like y'all Christian.
Oh.
Do y'all know that? Have y'all heard that? Yeah. People say that all the time.
Does Light of the World have an outreach ministry?
Yes, sir. We like outreach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh?
We're outreach.
Y'all outreach? Okay.
Mm-hmm. You want to work outreach?
I have.
Well, the active part for outreach is we do an 8 o'clock right there in the fellowship hall every Sunday morning, 8 o'clock. It's training. You come in, but you invite your own people in. It may be two or three of us here, but the evangelist is asking you to bring the word. Then we're looking at for you to evangelize your household, evangelize your community, your friends, bring them in over there at 8 o'clock. We'll be right here waiting on you. You will bring the word. And
you
got
to do organized things in the community.
Yes, we do. Yeah, and we do things in the community. We're getting back to that now.
Because one of the things that the Lord put on my heart was this, that the parents might not be the right example or anything, but there has to be an active, active and organized effort to go after souls. The war is for souls.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy's doing his part. You know, he has these people, he's putting them on display. What about the Christians? Somebody needs to write a book on parenting. Somebody needs to write a book on marriage.
Oh,
y'all been married a long time. Somebody needs to, all of these things that a Christian, okay, marketed. All these things that, you know, they need to hear from the Christian perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So they are hearing this loud and clear from the other hand. But they need to know this. They need to know. They need to see examples that you don't see in the home. We need to know somebody's been married for a while and they still together and they say and they 18 and they not wild. Or, you know, we need to see that. We need to show that and display that. And also, like these kids and these school students and all this stuff going on, I'm not saying what you do or what you don't do. I don't even know. But I'm a part of a group of Christians that we do outreach together. But the thing about it is that somebody has to go after them. These kids doing these killings and these shootings and stuff, somebody got to go after them because the child they kill might be yours or your grandchild, but you get them saved, delivered, and set free and on fire for God, then they'll bring more people in to the king, you know. That's kind of like my thing.
Just want to talk about the training for to come in for that so she can understand.
We are mentoring, and we're mentoring kids, okay, for 10 schools in this area.
Amen.
And we are an example in the school. And the teachers and the principals came here to present us with an award because of the work we do. Okay, so we're in the school, and we take kids who could be in trouble and doing stuff, and they're in the gym playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the outreach we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, so the 8 o'clock is just a training.
Yes.
That's not the outreach, so I don't want to.
I don't. Hold up. Just want to, when you asked about that, when you come into the church, you want to get some clarity about what's going on in the church.
So I'm telling you about 8 o'clock because you could come to 8 o'clock and you will find out more information concerning it, what is going on as far as outreach is concerned. And another way that you can find out is what is going on as far as outreach is concerned is Saturday we have a leadership meeting. It's for everybody. It's a church-wide meeting. You can come out. Department heads are sharing what they are doing and what they are planning to do as we go forward. So when I'm telling you about that, the 8 o'clock, I'm telling you so that you can come in there and you can ask me any questions over there at 8 o'clock when you get through with doing your, if you was doing the message or if you came to listen to someone. So I just started with that simply because of that. A lot of times we don't even think about we are doing outreach. When we have the pop-up, that's outreach. So I don't know if you knew that the last thing we did, I think, on the campus here, I think, was a pop-up where we had vendors out here on the ground where we was doing outreach that day, too. We was reaching, and they folks did come. Uh-huh. And so another thing that we are planning on doing now is we already do it, but we are going to start asking people like you to show up at these games and not badgering anyone. Give them a card. You sit down beside them. You could be in the gym helping us out or something, picking up trash or whatever, and just give a person a card and say, meet me over at my church on Sunday. So we are going to start doing that, and that is going to be emphasized a little bit on Saturday in the meeting as well, okay? Oh.
I haven't put in the practice or anything, but I thought it was very unique. There was this woman, and she was doing outreach, and one of the things that she did was, like at a fair or a festival that they were already having set up for the tent. But she said, her sign said, realign your spirit,
mm-hmm.
which is more of a kind of Buddhist kind of thing, a way of saying.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and people came in thinking, okay, well, this, I done heard that this works and everything. But when they came in, you know, she was talking about salvation, deliverance,
mm-hmm.
and all these kind of things. So
mm-hmm.
the real realignment of your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Just in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good job. Okay, who else? Was someone else over here?
Three and four.
Okay.
One and two.
Yeah, that's one of the people.
Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah. So it's explanatory, you know, picking up on the verses 1 and 2, but it just reminds me of going back to, I think it was Romans 2 at the end of that, when I got so excited about it talking about that of course they were Judaizers, but these were the ones coming to Christ, and it was just saying by the things they were doing, they were profaning the world. They were affecting the Gentiles. They were dishonoring God, so that it was causing the Gentiles to look at them as blaspheming the God, the very God they serve. And so now he's up here encouraging and talking about, you know, the sin, you know, God forbid, no, don't go back into that, because if you were truly, truly baptized into Christ, you know, then you were truly baptized into his death, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So now the things that, hey, if you believe he truly died on the cross, he's dead. And just as he was dead to all those things as the man, as Jesus of Nazareth, not the risen Christ, then so should you be dead to all of those things. So, and you know, those things are buried. Anything dead, they say, ought to be buried. But it was saying it right here. I just say, you know, say, if it's dead, then it's buried. So, and then we can glory. We can glory in this walk, this new man, this newness that has come upon us since we have been born again.
Challenge us that even though that we have been, but we got to live in this flesh. Paul said there's another that I walk every day. So it ain't like we can put it on the ground for real, It's in our face every day.
Yes.
When we want to do good.
Amen.
You look at it. Amen. When you want to do the right thing, the wrong thing's like right there in our face. And so it's a challenge. And that's when God knew we couldn't do it on our own.
Yeah.
That's why he said, I'm going to leave you a comforter. I'm going to send you a paraclete. I'm going to send you a help. Because you can't do it on your own. You're going to need some help. You're going to need some help. And so we got to depend on the help. We can't, we can't get to a place where we think we can do it.
Amen.
That's how, that's where we fall. That's where we fall short, when we think we can do it. But if we depend on the Holy Ghost to do it for us, it's going to get done. But anytime we depend on ourselves, we don't wind up back in our carnal mind now. Because our spirit man needs to be depending on the Holy Ghost to lead and guide us into all, not some, all truth, right? And so if we don't be careful, let the Holy Ghost do what he does in our lives and give us freedom to do what he does and lead us and then be a sensitive to his voice. Again, got to have a relationship with him to know that, okay, this Holy Ghost talking. This ain't even talking. This ain't my flesh talking. This Holy Ghost talking, and it's lined up with the Word, so it's got to be God. And it ain't taking a word out of it, like how Satan would do, but it's got the Word like it's supposed to be in it. And so we got to be careful, too, that, that our flesh will take stuff out of the Word to make it sound like is the Word, but one word missing out of it. Can change the whole content of the Word.
It means something.
It can change something. So we got to be careful that we don't hear what we want to hear and it don't line up with the Word, but it sounds like the Word. Because the devil ain't going to bring you something that don't sound
like the Word.
Come on. That ain't crazy. He know you want to do right. So he'll bring you a situation that sounds so close that it's going to take the Holy Ghost to how they say the Word goes from between the bone and the that's a close cut.
That scripture mentions six different ways, and guess what? The number of man is. All of that is just for us. Six things.
My Lord.
Bone and the but that's how it flows.
That's how.
The Word got to make the distinction. And so we can't depend on our knowledge and what we know, what we feel, and guide us. Because if not, we gonna fall right back into that old stuff. We're going to go back to the same old stuff. And so as you was reading that, I thought about, I mentioned earlier, Galatians 2 and 20.
Yeah.
It says, and I no longer live, but Christ live in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Now, even though I'm living in this body, I live by faith. I ain't living by sight. I ain't living by what I think. I ain't living by what I see. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So now, not only that I'm living for him, but I'm grateful. That makes a difference. Because when you're grateful for somebody, you want to do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. You want to do whatever it takes to please them. So now I'm grateful that he gave himself for me.
Yeah.
And he didn't say for the world.
Mm-hmm.
Notice that.
Mm-hmm.
He said for me. So he's making it personal.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to make it personal. He died for me. If he didn't die for nobody else.
Hallelujah.
He died for me. You got to take this thing personal. And so I live, but I live by the faith of God, by faith in the Son of God. And the 21st verse says, and I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died, was dying was for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it ain't about the law. It's about my faith in the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
I believe what he did on the cross for me.
Hallelujah.
No matter what you say.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe.
Right. Right.
No matter how it sounds to you, that's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you say about it, you can dispute it all you want.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing you cannot dispute, what he done for me.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. My experience with him, you can't dispute. You can dispute anything else you want to do. You can say this kid's purple if you want to. That's fine. But I know what he did for me.
Mm-hmm.
He may not have done it for you. So I can't say he didn't do it for you or he did it for you, but I know.
Mm-hmm.
The experience and the encounter I had with him
Glory.
That changed my life.
Glory.
So I don't want to live no longer in sin.
Glory.
I don't want to be a servant to sin no more. I don't want to be a slave to sin. Where when sin say do this, I had to do it. When he said jump, I just say how high. I don't have to do that anymore. We Glory. Have been liberated where we can choose to say sin no more.
Right.
Today is not the day. I'm not going to follow you
today.
Not today. And so when we live this life now, we got to live it as if we're dead folks.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff, we can't be so touchy. If you begin to stick your hand wrong, you get in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has walked by you and look like they didn't notice you. You can't get offended in that no more because you're dead. Hello.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You dare, you ain't noticed that. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Or you see how Sister So-and-so, she just walked by. You don't know what Sister So-and-so going through. You ain't know what it took for her to even come to church.
Mm-hmm.
She could be just in focusing, Lord, help me today while I kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what they put in their mind is focused on and gone somewhere else, but you trying to judge what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You're just supposed to be dead now.
Mm-hmm.
Can't see that. You hear that if you did. And so we have to make sure that we stop stuff because too many things distract us.
Mm-hmm.
Too many things pull at us, trying to wake us up.
Mm-hmm.
You dead, you dead. But don't try to get up.
Mm.
Don't ask to be resuscitated.
We as Christians, we can judge people wrong based on what we think it is. I hear people say it all the time, and it kind of irks me when people say that. They faking. They ain't praising God. They faking. My thing is this. Exactly what you said. You don't know what it took for me to get here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what it took for me to clap my hands.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what kind of spiritual battle I'm in between trying to, but I came to give a sacrifice of praise.
Mm-hmm.
And a sacrifice is not something that comes easily all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's hard. My feet fall. They hurt. My mind, somebody called me and told me something that disturbed me. My boyfriend, man, or whatever he is. I found out he was sick. It could be anything, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm here in church, God, I'm going to praise you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm struggling to get in his presence,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then somebody said, oh, he ain't doing nothing but faith, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know. A lot of times when we see things like that, what we need to do, pray. Lord,
mm-hmm.
give it to her. Give it to her, Lord. She's struggling. Give it to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pray to her. You know, pray praise God. Touch her, Lord, him, or whatever. Because we're always so quick to judge, you know, and we don't really know. If we knew a lot of people's stories, you know, we'll be crying and sobbing and up there trying to help them get through.
That's
you
right.
Know?
That's
but,
right.
But that's one of the things we also so we have to be, you know, careful. It's not only what we say, but what we think, you know.
Very good.
Good. Ain't in your business. I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Ain't got nothing. He come in this building, ain't got nothing to do with you. Judge me for what I'm doing. What are you doing?
Right. Right.
You're an abomination in the presence of God. Because your thing is you should be so focused on worship, you don't even see me.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you seeing me? You should be seeing God.
Right.
Who came here to see? And that's the problem. We still alive, amen. Because if you're so much focused on what somebody else is doing and how they doing it, what you came here for?
Yeah.
And there's three set of people in here, I believe. Watching, working, and worship. Watching, working, worship. Some folks come here to watch. Some folks come here to work. I got to sing the song. I got to play the music. I got to do the delight. I got to share. I got to do the offering. I got to do. That's what they came for. The other people come for the worship. If you're here to worship, don't criticize me because I'm worshiping.
Right, right.
Because that's my whole reason to be here, even when I'm supposed to work. I got to work and worship.
Yeah.
I can't just, I mean, when during the pandemic, it took everything I had to sit back there. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be where the fire is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to praise God no matter what.
What you said, yeah.
And so we got to be careful not to put ourselves in God's place.
Mm-hmm.
The worship ain't for you.
Right, right. Come on.
What I'm giving ain't for you.
Yes.
So what do you care of how I'm doing?
Right.
It ain't
right.
for you.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out what people get, where they get that from. If I come to worship, it ain't for you.
Right.
So why do you care how I'm doing it? They got nothing to do with you. If I'm in your face, back over.
Right, right.
Change your feet, because guess what? You don't know. My story.
Right.
You don't know what he did to me. You don't know where he has dragged me and pulled me out of. But you decide to tell me, don't praise my God. You have no idea what he does for me. You got the nerve to want me to sit down? You got the audacity to want me to hush? Yeah, well, that's a lie. Praise him. Hallelujah, no matter what it says. I'm going to give him praise because no rock going to cry out for
right.
me. I'm going to give him praise because he's doing it. He's been good to me. I'm not just saying it, but he's been good to me. Hallelujah. Tell me how to praise God. Where were you? At the midnight hour when I was crying. Begging God to pull me out. Where were you?
Yeah.
Ooh, when I couldn't see my way, where were you?
Yeah.
Ooh, to tell me, don't pray.
Yeah.
I better stop while I'm on the room. Tell me, don't praise my God, and how to praise him.
Yeah.
David said, when his wife looked at him praise, when he danced out of trouble. I was blessed in all time.
Yes.
His praises will continue be in my mouth. My soul will make a full fill of. The humble are going to hear about it. And they're going to get glad. Oh, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That is exalted name. If you quiet, you say quiet. If you just want to wave your hand, you wave your hand. If you want to run, you run. But nobody can tell it like you can tell it. What the Lord has done for you. Hallelujah. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Nobody knows what he's done for me.
Mm.
Because you can't even tell it all.
Yeah.
No.
You can't even tell it all. And when you feel it, it seems like it ain't enough.
Yeah.
But telling me how to pray. God.
Thank you, Lord.
The nerve to adapt it. To have the nerve to tell me how to praise God. It don't take all that.
Yeah.
It won't take it for you.
All that
it may not take it for you.
Yeah.
But if you've been there.
Yeah.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
When the devil tells you, where were you? Where were you? When I couldn't even see hope nowhere, where were you? Tell me not to praise God. Where were you? When I didn't see no way out.
Mm.
God came to my rescue.
Yeah.
Pull me up out of hell.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me not to praise God?
Mm.
You're going to tell me how I need to praise God?
Mm.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah,
Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah,
thank
Lord.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I know y'all online. Y'all don't know what's going on. Thank God. Thank God for his mercy and grace. Thank God for him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. I love it. Oh, I love it. To my soul, I love it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Where would I be? Where would I be without the Lord?
Mm.
God, don't even want to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so glad.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Saved me when he did.
Mm.
Kept me when I didn't even want to be kept. Kept me anyway. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
You could have just put me on a rubbish pile.
Hmm.
But you came and got me. I'm grateful to you.
Amen.
I'm grateful to you, God. Oh, God, I bless you. God, I bless you.
Thanks, God. Thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, God. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
God is good.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm. Jesus paid our sin debt.
Hallelujah.
And I've been crucified with Christ. Mm. Nevertheless, I live. I don't even live. Christ living in me. Live in me, Lord.
Mm.
Live in me so much that the devil would see you in me.
Mm. Mm.
That everybody be around would see you in me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be seen. I want you to be seen.
Yeah.
Let me do God.
Come on, guys. Mm-hmm. Give the Lord a high cup of praise. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word today, and we thank God for the experience. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. He's good all the time. Hallelujah. And we bless this holy name today for the word of God that has gone forth on today. Amen. Hallelujah. And we may think sometimes that that we may be doing the right thing by judging. You can judge. But doing the right thing by judging what someone else is doing, but it's not a good thing to do that. Like, say, for instance, the praising or worshiping. Sometimes you mention something about your feet may be hurting, or you're really trying to get into the present, but So we are saying stand up, and we saying do this, and we saying do that. And really, actually, you may be worshiping just doing what you're doing. You sitting here, you may have your head down, or you may be bowed down or whatever. You're just not standing. But whatever you're doing, it may be your praise. You may be in your praise. So we can't always just be looking at what someone else is doing. We have to be looking to God to what it is that we need to be doing in the body. So come on and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. For the word on today, we do want to, I think we better pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we bless you, God. We honor you, and God, we magnify your name, God. We pray, Lord God, that your spirit is present, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that you cover us right now in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that the enemy would not get in, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that you cover our ear gate. Lord God, you cover our heart, oh God. You cover our spirit right now in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. So, God, we bless you right now, God. We thank you, Lord God, that you have your covering around us right now in the name of Jesus. And, God, we declare that it is done. And, God, we are going to go on and pray for the offering, Lord, that you are blessed right now, Lord God. Each and every person that is given in the offering, Lord God, we pray that you will bless them again so that they will be able to give again, oh, God. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit resting in this place right now in the name of Jesus. We just praise you right now, God. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. We want you to give today. You can pay your tithes or you can give an offering. If you need an envelope, I can get one for you. Those of you that are online, if you would just give and then text it to me at 770-906-0607 as you go and online and give your offering, okay? And those of you that are in-house, I do have my Square. If anyone needs to give by Square, I do have it. Those of you that is online, if you would just send the amount that you are giving to my cell phone at 770-906-0607. 770-906-0607. Thank you so much. God bless you.